We're just going to take a few moments tonight to introduce in our continuing series that we've been doing on the natural and normal life of the believer. We've been dealing with the subject of prayer. And this will be the last section that I'm going to be doing on this matter of prayer. And then we're going to move on to some other themes related to the natural and normal life of the Christian. The normal life of the Christian is one of prayer. But there needs to be an understanding of what prayer is and what prayer should be about. And I'm afraid so many times we don't fully understand, and prayer becomes mostly, and I don't mean this in a mean way at all, but it becomes mostly about us and our needs and those that we like, their needs, and we pray for them. And we don't really understand what prayer is for. And I want to touch on that tonight because I think it's very important for us to look at God's Word on this subject of the purpose of prayer. And so if you would look at Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read the first 8 verses only of this passage. Chapter 18 is a great lesson on prayer, specifically talking about as we approach the final days of this earth. There's one thing noticeable that happens in regard to prayer, and the Lord brings it out here. Because He asked the question in verse 8, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith in the earth?" In other words, is there going to be the demonstration in people who claim to be Christians of a living faith in their life? And it's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. Not going to find it. Something's happened. It's not what it should be at all. Just like you find out about people who've been married for a number of years, and then you find out that they've been having marriage trouble for 10 years, and then they finally separate and go their ways, and everybody says, "What happened? Boy, it didn't seem like they'd had any trouble or difficulty," and yet all along, there was a core issue that was creating problems that it was never dealt with. And as a result, a marriage ended. And the same thing is true in the Christian life. If you allow sin to get rooted in your life, no matter how good your intentions are to be, and maybe how good you are at presenting yourself, but the fact is this, if the sin is not dealt with, there are going to be serious consequences in your life. And it'll play out in all kinds of different ways that you cannot control. Listen as I read. And you follow along. Verse 1. "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So this parable that's shared in verses 2 through 8, and even what goes beyond in verses 9 through 14, has to do with prayer and not quitting. Prayer and not being a fainter. Let's go on. "Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." In other words, just wear me out. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fix her problem because I don't want to deal with her anymore. All right. Verse 6. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith." Listen to him. All right. What is he saying? What is causing him to judge rightly in her behalf rather than because it's a basis that he fears God and that he's concerned about his fellow man? What is it that caused him to give a righteous judgment in her behalf? It was her importunate spirit, right? What was he saying? Because she kept coming back, and she kept coming back, and she kept pleading with me about her case, I took care of her need. So the judge was honoring her what? Her importunity. And what did Jesus say? What did the judge? Listen to what the judge says. He was honoring her because she was importunate. She just kept on. So what does God look for in our prayer life? People that just keep going back to Him. Just keep going back to Him. Lord, I'm pleading my case with You. And you just keep on coming back to Him. Now, that's a necessary element of prayer in the Christian life. Now, verse 7, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him? In other words, the elect are importunate. They keep crying out to God. And will not God, who is a good judge, an honorable judge, will He not plead their case and take care of them? The answer is another rhetorical question, and the answer is what? Yes, He will. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, or He will take care of it in a quick fashion. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? I read a translation of this passage that I felt was very interesting. Shall He find that kind of faith on the earth? Shall He find that kind of faith on the earth? Where people just believe God will answer their prayer requests and that God will take care of them and that God will answer speedily. In other words, He will act in a way that will take care of His children. Now, I found this statement not too long ago, and I've had it in my Bible for a while, but it has been so helpful to me in my own personal prayer life. And it was made by D.L. Moody in regard to this subject that we'll get into not in full tonight, but I want to just leave this thought in your mind because it is absolutely truthful and powerful. Prayer does not mean that I am to bring God down to my thoughts and my purposes and bend His government according to my foolish, silly, and sometimes sinful notion. Now, some people get offended real quick and say, no, wait a minute, that's not me. But how many times have you asked God for silly things? Let's be honest, you know. Lord, you've got to send me a handsome man. I don't want an ugly one. I want one that's 6'4", dark-headed, good-looking, I mean athletic. And we just start going down the list, right? You never prayed that. Praise God. I'd have been really concerned if you'd been praying for that. Or if it's a guy. Okay, we don't have any issues with gender around here. Let me tell you something right now. If you do, we'll straighten you out real quick. But if you're a guy, Lord, you've got to send me a beautiful... I've got to have something beautiful hanging on my arm as I walk down the street, you know. How many times do we ask God for silly things? Lord, let my baby be beautiful when she's born. Or let my boy just be the handsomest baby that ever came through Santa Rosa Medical Center. Silly things that we ask God for and we say we don't do that? Please. All right? Prayer does not mean that I am to bring God down to my thoughts and my purposes and bend His government according to my foolish, silly, and sometimes sinful notions. Prayer means that I am to be raised up into union and designed with Him, that I am to enter into His counsel and carry out His purpose fully. And we're going to get into this. We're going to look at God's Word in this regard. When I pray, do I really want God's purposes carried out in my life? What might that mean? Think about that. What might that mean? Maybe God's purposes is to take you on to glory early. Maybe God's purpose is, like Caitlin was saying, send you out to some place that's outside your comfort zone. Boy, the Lord's put me in those places through the years. I was totally outside. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I don't know what to do. And yet, that kind of dependence is what God is looking for because that kind of person wants God's purposes fulfilled. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer said? God's will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. In other words, His eternal purpose is carried out. Lord willing, in the next few times, we're going to finish up this lesson on prayer being the natural and normal part of life. And I want to bring to you what the normal prayer life of the Christian ought to be like. There are two main things that we're going to emphasize here about prayer and how you pray. And there may be that we need to do some adjusting. And we're going to talk about how most people pray and what really should be their thoughts when they pray when they're praying for others, when they're praying for needs, whenever they're just talking to God. There ought to be some understanding about what I desire when I pray.